WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling. In the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there. And while you all enjoy your cabbage and green beer, I'd like to remind everyone St. Patrick was not only the guy who chased all the snakes out of Ireland, but a man who killed a pre-Christian evil god named Crom with a sledgehammer. All hail the saint. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
So if St. Patrick was the guy who killed Crom, that means he went to hell like Schwarzenegger said?
Possibly.
Awesome.
And of course, as usual, we have the one and only, Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am really pleased to be joined by two geeks. Oh my god.
What?
What do you mean? In this context, it's knowledge.
Yeah,
knowledgeable people.
This is historical mythology here, okay?
Yeah. Active word being mythology. Mythology, that's fake shit.
It's also a degree that you can get from colleges and universities.
It just sounds like a word that's said by people with a lisp.
No, that would be Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger. We the people.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah. So. Oh, God. I hate Jack Swagger, by the way.
Hi, welcome to the club. Here's your card.
Thanks. Yeah. I don't know. It's the haircut and no neck. It just bugs me.
What about the no talent part?
That was a given. I thought it was a given anyway.
I was just making sure that wasn't like the no neck thing was like the primary, you know, because there's bigger issues to Jack Swagger.
Well, yeah, I just like to find the more obscure ones because everybody zeroes in on the bigger issues. It's like, you know, it's so commercial, like Prince in 1984.
Okay, so you can criticize Prince in 1984, but I know a little bit of Irish mythology, and all of a sudden I'm the geek.
Yeah, there you go. What? No, whoa. Knowing anything about Prince isn't being a geek in that context. I had a craving for some
reason.
It's
being a loser.
Yeah, very funny. For some reason I had a craving for cheese this afternoon while I was at work. So I get home and, I've watched the movie Full Metal Jacket. And now I'm watching another movie from the 80s. called Purple Rain. And I should not have to worry about a craving for cheese for the next year and a half now after tonight.
You know?
Just saying. Best part of the movie you already
have.
Now
that we've got that little bit of Tim story time out of the way, how about we actually get on with the show?
Yeah, there you go. No, I was just going to say, the best part of the movie already happened where she jumped into the lake that wasn't Minnetonka. Where the hell is Lake Minnetonka anyway? Does anybody know? No? Okay. Well, then let's talk wrestling.
And no mythology, not geography.
There you go. What about geomythology? Do you know anything about that?
Offhand.
Not offhand. Okay. So there we go. All right. So last Monday night was Paul Bearer tribute night. Of course, Paul Bearer passing away coming up just under 2 weeks ago. And last Monday night on Raw, they had a tribute show for Paul Bearer. And I kind of enjoyed the entire thing they did. What did you think about it, Mace?
Well, the actual tribute portion of the tribute, excellent. Absolutely.
You're not going to
get the hell out of it.
You're not going to bitch and complain about CM Punk coming out at the top of the show and interrupting Undertaker, are you?
No, actually.
Okay.
Because, believe it or not, I was very conflicted.
Okay.
But considering that we're actually going to start talking about the actual tribute, tribute well done, the fact that they played the videos throughout the night of some of his best clips, mind you, once again, I am now scanning my PC for the WWE spyware, because I swear every clip they put up we were watching just after the death was announced, which was real scary.
Somewhat freaky, but coincidental nonetheless.
I don't know with these guys anymore. But well, yeah, the actual tribute, very fitting for him, especially Undertaker. You know, doing his respectful pose at the start of it. Extremely well done and very, very respectful. It was a great way to open the show.
Now, you said you were conflicted. Now, I've got to ask you, why were you conflicted? What conflicted you?
Okay, with the whole CM Punk coming out, basically doing the whole disrespect thing, the wrestling side of me, the one that has wrestled, the one that's booked shows, has refereed, that's done this, that's been involved in all the backstage shit. I'm sitting there clapping. It was perfection.
Yep.
You want a way to get Punk to the point where people want to kill him, this'll do it. And it did. You could hear it from the crowd. They wanted to lynch mob him. But the fan side of me is going, how disrespectful of him to come out and destroy this moment. So that's where the confliction come from. The fan in me reacted like they wanted me to. I thought it was disrespectful, it was a bad thing, Punk should be beaten the shit out of, but that's the reaction they were going for. So at the same time, I was like, you played it so well.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you bloody great booking here. That's where the conflict comes from.
I see. Okay. Well, Omega, as somebody who enjoys watching wrestling, and hasn't necessarily, done the book or any of that other stuff, how did you feel about stuff like Punk interrupting?
Honestly, part of me was in a somewhat similar boat in a way, because there's part of me that would like to see the tribute untainted, as it were. Not bringing it into a storyline like they tend to do with real life situations. But the tribute aspect, I agree, it was brilliantly done. I loved the opening. I mean, I loved, they gave Kane the win. And I love everything. I love how they set everything up and how they celebrated Paul Bearer. It was a really good tribute show. I was really happy with it. And then came CM Punk's involvement, which, it comes off extremely disrespectful, and that's exactly how it was supposed to come off. And well, part of, you know, there's that part of me going, I don't want this brought into storyline. Okay, a man died. We're celebrating his life. Can we please just do that and not make fiction of it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of applaud it, because good Lord, the heat on Punk after that match with Kane, and you know, when he interrupted the promo at the start too. The man is not scared of getting that kind of hatred from the crowd.
Yeah.
And, I don't want it brought into a storyline, but it did its job exactly the way it was supposed to. So I'm shunning and applauding it at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, one person I'm pretty sure would have given both, you know, given two thumbs up and applauded it heavily would have been Paul Bearer himself. I'm pretty sure that he would have been extremely pleased with how everything went down and how they laid it all out. That just makes me wonder, are people today just a little bit too sensitive? 15 years ago, I don't think, or even 10 years ago, I don't think that as much of a ruckus would have been raised by the fans over something like what we saw last Monday night. But last week after everything happened, I don't know about you guys, but I, again, reading on the forums boards and, message posts and stuff like that, people were just up in it, you know, they were in a tizzy, to use a, rather obscure term. They were up in arms over the fact that how could they do something like that? Shame on Punk for being so disrespectful, blah, 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 blah.
As a society, yes, we are more prone to jump down the throats of anybody who does this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people seem to forget, especially in this day and age, that wrestling exists in its own weird little universe.
Mm-hmm.
Where it can do things like this and get away with it. It's like, and it's been like that for years.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to the NWO invasion days when they used to do it at the MGM, the lot in Disney or something like that, where they had the frigging cops and ambulance and all that called on them because they thought people were thinking there was this gigantic gang brawl going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same weird little universe where one guy can run over another one with a car and they settle it in a wrestling ring rather than, you know, suing the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
Or getting the cops involved.
Yeah.
Wrestling is this strange, weird little universe where normal rules don't exist.
Yeah.
And people keep trying to put wrestling under normal world rules.
And you simply cannot do that. Now, I'm not one to coin phrases or anything like that. And this is definitely not an original, but people got to get over the butthurt. Seriously.
Okay, Tim.
Yeah.
Okay, going back that far that long ago, how would you feel if the same night of the tribute, someone came out and brought in Owen's death in a storyline?
Now that would be a totally different situation, and the reason for that is because of how Owen died.
Okay, what about Eddie?
They've done that. With Eddie. They've used Dead Eddie as a storyline ever since Eddie died.
Rey Mysterio kind of gets pushed because, Eddie was my best friend, you know, who I'm gonna live up to his memory. Chavo well, and TNA gets victory through power of Dead Uncle.
Yeah, there you go. I just want to interrupt before you go any further. The one good thing about Eddie's death is we got rid of Kerwin White. Thank you.
Still, how would you feel if someone came out and just like, okay, well, what if it was Chavo coming out as Kerwin White just kind of shitting on Eddie the same night of his tribute show just because they wanted to put it into a storyline?
Well,
just because they wanted to draw heat from the crowd.
Again, somewhat of a different situation, and the reason why I'm not playing along with you on this one is Eddie had gone through a whole hell of a lot in his lifetime, and he'd almost caused his own death on a couple of occasions. He had pulled himself together and he had been clean and sober for a couple of years. The damage, nobody knew the damage had already been done, right? But it's, you know, it's Eddie's death is more tragic. And here it is. This is just sounding just the wrong way of putting it. The circumstances of Eddie's death is more tragic. He was first off a lot younger than Paul Bearer. Paul Bearer was never a wrestler, right?
But he was still a very popular figure for a long time.
Very, very popular figure for a long time. Different characters in the world of professional wrestling with different things going on in their careers present different situations and circumstances. Eddie was only 39.
I'm wondering why it's okay that, regardless of the circumstances, a human life is a human life. Why is it okay to make light of one for a storyline and you have to treat the other one with more respect?
Well, part of it, like I said, part of it is circumstances. The other part of it is the age difference.
It's a popular character in the WWE. It's a very popular person, a persona, someone that the fans care about. Yeah. They die in a very sudden and tragic way.
Yep.
And one gets used in a storyline, and it's okay. And then if one gets into a storyline, we're kind of offended by it. Okay, why is it okay to use, still, you're not answering the question. Why is it okay to use
you're
one
not,
wife?
Well, you keep interrupting before I can get done, so that's why I can't answer why I'm not answering the question. Okay, part of the answer happens to be the fact, you know, that it's age difference. Eddie being 39, Paul Bearer was 58. There's a bit of a difference there, number one. Number two, It was different situations, like Eddie being a wrestler, Paul Bearer being the guy on the outside. Now, yeah, sure, Eddie had that Eddie Guerrero humor going on. Totally, totally different than Paul Bearer and Paul Bearer's humor going on. With anything that happened with Paul Bearer that made you chuckle, it leaned towards dark humor. And what we saw on Monday night leaned towards dark humor, which fit the characterization, like the character of Paul Bearer. And
Tim, in the end, you're still telling me one life was more important than the other.
No, I'm not saying one is more important than the other. I'm saying they are fundamentally two different people. Right? Now, if Eddie had lived to be 58 years old and then tragically died, and they use that immediately as a storyline.
What's the difference between age here? I mean, it's who cares how old they were at the time? They were still very well known to the audience. They're still a beloved character. It doesn't matter how old they were. They're still relevant.
It does. Well, no, you know, that's the thing. Yeah, okay, it's a human life, and human lives one is not intrinsically more valuable than the other or anything like that.
Exactly, but that's the thing. I think it's more, I don't know what it is, like, I'm only going from my own viewpoint here. Yes, the disrespect is there, but I think the thing that's making people more accepting of what's happened in the terms of Paul Bearer being put into the storyline is the fact that you know that the disrespect it's come up and it's coming. You know, like, part of your brain is going, this is disrespectful as fuck, and then you see The Undertaker, and I swear to God, I hope somebody informed that man before this happened, or else Punk is a dead man.
For sure, yeah, exactly.
Because the thing that seems to have, the people that are accepting this are accepting it on the premise that Punk's disrespect is going to earn him an absolute ass-whooping at WrestleMania at the hands of The Undertaker.
Yeah.
They know that the retribution is coming. On the other hand, with, like, Eddie being used, it was sort of disrespectful that people were capitalizing on his death in the terms of Rey Mysterio, which I personally found offensive at the time, because it wasn't, you know, remembering Eddie Guerrero, it was using him as a marketing tool.
Well, we were, when that happened, we all had several discussions on that on many different Sunday nights of, okay, well, if it was really a sign of respect for Eddie, shouldn't they have done something with Chavo?
Well,
you know, of course, some of our discussions were in tongue-in-cheek.
Chavo is another completely different kettle of friggin' fish, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially today, in today's way he's using himself and basically trying to become Eddie Jr.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, I'm not going to defend what you're saying. Believe me, a big part of me, siding with Omega on this one and his views on there's no life that should be put one above the other. When someone passes on, everybody is of equal value. There should be that same level of respect for everybody, or you just don't mention it at all.
There are different types of things for different types of people at the same time, right? This is a way of showing respect for the character of Paul Bearer, you know, Percy Pringle III, William Moody, and the type of character he was in wrestling. I know that may sound weird and perverse to you, and I don't know if you can wrap your brains around what I'm trying to express and failing miserably at. But it's a little bit different. And it's not lessening anything. But like you said, Mace, you know, it's using Eddie's death to get yourself further in your career. That was more insulting than what we saw Monday night on Raw.
All right, to put it, let's try and sort of flip the scenario around a bit. What if it had been Bobby Heenan?
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, somebody who was really close to Bobby doing the same thing, and Punk came out. Would we be reacting this exact same way?
No, we probably would have been extremely pissed off. Well, collectively speaking, for me personally, let me give you my personal thing. If something like that had happened with Bobby Heenan, I would have thought that, well, first off, we've never really seen Bobby as a babyface, so I would have think, well, that's kind of weird. But I, at the same time, doing something like that, in my mind, actually pays tribute to Bobby the Brain, would pay tribute to Bobby the Brain Heenan as a character.
I just think, and like, this is why I get what Omega's saying, but at the same time, I really can't get what the hell you're saying. Because at the end of the day, a tribute is meant to be a celebration of a life.
Yeah.
And that's why I got conflicted over the whole thing, because as a fan of somebody who was a big fan of Paul Bearer and his character and everything, I was pissed off.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, that's where the wrestling side of me kicked in and realized what was going on.
Yeah. And
at the end of the day, disrespect is disrespect. Mm. No matter whether it's a friggin' storyline, whether it is meant to be on purpose, accidental, you respect those that have paved the way before you. You respect those that have passed on. You don't drag their name down by doing something like this.
Well, do you see what they did last Monday night as something that dragged someone's name down?
It destroyed a well-fitting tribute at the end.
Well, you look at the entire show from beginning, you know, from start to finish. And yeah, sure, it's a setup. And it was almost like you couldn't have planned Paul, and this is going to sound terrible, and I apologize in advance, but you couldn't have planned Paul Bearer's death at a better time than Undertaker coming back in time for WrestleMania to fight Punk, and you need to get a lot more heat on Punk because people are still chanting CM Punk, CM Punk. Doesn't matter how heelish he gets, he's still got his backers. And those are the people that I call the smart fans. And I don't necessarily mean intelligent, but smart in quotation marks. Sure, maybe there's intelligence there. Maybe it's the wrong kind of smart. But the fact of the matter is, CM Punk is one of the best wrestlers in all of professional wrestling today. Agreed?
Yeah.
Love him, even though we're supposed to hate him. Agreed?
Yes.
Now, do you love CM Punk so much?
It would be for what has been said. He's not afraid to go out and get heat. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to have people hate his guts in order to get a character over. He basically exemplifies the old school kayfabe values and can wrestle, and he is probably one of the standouts of the modern age.
Yep.
But now, like I said, end of the day, storyline yep. meant to be or not, disrespect is disrespect. Come up and be damned.
Yeah. You know,
okay. To be honest, Tim, I'm going to say this right now.
Yeah.
Take us to fucking break, because I'm sick of talking about this, because I know it's only going to end up blowing somebody up. So let's move on to something else, shall we?
Okay, there you go. On that note, we will wind up taking our first little timeout here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen, WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, a lot more coming your way on the other side of this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Starting March 11th, it's 28 days of WrestleMania in ripped form. That's right, leading up to the biggest show of the year, we take a look back at some of the great and not so great moments in WrestleMania's history.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I think without a doubt, probably better. Oh, wow!
Professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's out of the fire. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I'm dropping a big leg. Over to the cover. It's over.
28 riffs in 28 days, celebrating the showcase of the immortal and not so immortal alike.
Kevin Austin, ATV. Rumors are running rampant that Lesnar is contemplating playing the National Football League, therefore leaving the WWE. That rumor has made the rounds, and certainly not excluding that. The fans want to see him go.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God. And Lashley, shaving Mr. McMahon bald.
Don't do this to me.
You can hear Mr. McMahon screaming over here.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
He's crying.
Stop it. Stop it. Don't.
So relive the memories at wildtalkradio.com/WrestleMania and prepare to have your childhood destroyed, as only we at the Wild Talk Radio Network can destroy it.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And thank you, everybody, for joining us on a Sunday evening. If you live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, just want to let you know there's only 20 shopping days left until Christmas. One or two people might be wondering what the hell I'm talking about.
He's lost it.
Yeah, last Wednesday, it was like in the 60s Fahrenheit up here. And right now, with the wind chill factor, it's like 3 degrees Fahrenheit above outside. With snow and shit like that. So, yuck. So, I am curious about something though. What was your favorite Paul Bearer clip that they showed on, Monday night? Mace?
The WrestleMania 20 return and the, SummerSlam 94 primer.
Okay. Omega, what was yours?
Yeah, it's going to be his skit with Mr. Fuji.
Okay. I got a real kick, and I forgot about it completely until I saw it again. The clip where he's in the dress and the blonde wig being interrogated by the cops, and then the lights go out?
That's the
SummerSlam 94 primer.
That's I was just describing it, you know, in detail for people who might not know what it was. Because there are a couple of people who don't remember things.
The lights come on, Paul Bearer's back in his suit, Mr. Fuji's in the dress and the wig, yep. And he's feeling up his own boobs.
I'm looking at it, just laughing my ass off, because I'm watching it, and I'm remembering what's going to happen next as I watch it. And it was almost as funny seeing it the first time around. So, God, that was a while back. Wow. Things have certainly changed. One of the biggest changes apparently brought about by Triple H, as a matter of fact, is the introduction of headgear in training, being used to lessen potential head injuries until the trainees learn how to take bumps correctly. What do you guys think about strapping on the old helmet there on the kids learning to run against the ropes and fall on their faces?
Needs to happen more in wrestling. A lot of training institutions can benefit from that type of protection.
Yeah.
Especially in the early days where guys are learning the fundamentals of actually bumping properly. Because the amount of times your head will bounce off that mat when you don't know how to take a bump properly is insane.
Well,
so for them to institute this in their training Yeah. Great idea.
Yeah. Well, as somebody who's gone through the training and stuff, how many times have you landed on your head, Mace? And how many times were you thinking, geez, you know, they brought the helmets in, they could have done it when I was training?
I could probably easily count the number of concussions I've had compared to the amount of times my head has bounced off the mat.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? What is your opinion on the whole thing, Mace or Omega?
I was actually really happy to hear it because it is a very smart, sound decision to make.
Yeah.
I have never been to a training camp. I've never seen what the guys go through, but I know there's this old. Yeah, sort of laughing.
Sorry.
But I know there's this old mentality that, you know, it's very rough and tumble. You've got to learn to take the bumps. You got to man up and get through it type thing. But this is going to, you never know who was going to be the next, big thing in wrestling that might have gotten taken out just because they took too many shots to the head just getting through the training camp.
Chris Nowinski. I loved Chris Nowinski's character. He could have been something, but he had to hang up the proverbial boots because of the multiple head injuries the guy suffered. Now, the question was he that much of a klutz, or was it just that, unfortunate that it happened to him?
It'd be more of an unfortunate thing.
I would tend to think so. But this whole thing is reminding me about, here in Canada, of course, hockey is the number one thing. Helmets are mandatory in minor hockey. The kids have to wear not just a helmet, but a full face cage. And face cages were made mandatory in the late 70s after a 12-year-old got struck in the face with a hockey puck and was blinded by it. And it's just too bad that that was reactive. It's almost more like WWE and Paul Levesque here are being proactive, saying, look, we're going to avoid future problems. Throw this shit on until you know what the hell you're doing. It just makes sense, I think.
Well, considering that the WWE has been at the forefront of, the whole concussion thing with Chris Nowinski and also, the Chris Benoit stuff as well. It makes sense that they are the ones that are going to try and be proactive in this case. Personally, I believe that if you're going to train, headgear, elbow pads, knee pads until you learn how to bump properly.
Yep.
Of course, once you know how to bump properly, then you can start removing that stuff to suit your character and, toughening up those parts of your body. But I don't recommend people, banging their heads against something to toughen their head up.
Yeah, well,
Goldberg.
Yeah, there you go. Once you've gone through training and you just go to the gym and hop into the ring just to get a few bumps in and keep yourself in shape and stuff like that, should you not seriously consider wearing all of the protective gear just when you're in there, for lack of a better word, you're in there and you're practicing? Shouldn't you have the training gear on for practice?
Yes.
No matter how...
With the exception of the headgear, I trained in elbow pads and knee pads all the time. Still do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of guys that have never taken off the elbow pads or knee pads, and there are some that actually have to wear them because of injuries. And it's a case of, you look at all of these sports going on and people are talking about, well, maybe we should make this, that, or the other thing mandatory. And you get these professional athletes who are balking at the idea. He says, dude, I'm making $12 million a year. Fine. If I lose an eye, I'll go buy a new one. That's the mentality that seems to come across with these professional athletes in these different sports. But again, professional wrestling is a totally different animal. And, even in practice with football, hockey, whatever, you're still practicing in full uniform, full gear anyway. So it just, it just makes sense. Why take the risk when you don't have to? Now,
can I correct you quickly on something there, Tim?
Yeah,
wrestling is not different. Wrestling is a contact sport.
Well, yeah.
No matter how much Vince wants you to still believe that it is sports entertainment,
yeah,
it is still a contact sport. Contact sports require some form of protection in training, if not during actual competition.
Yeah. Well,
But again, this comes down to the whole reclassification of wrestling as sports entertainment, with quotations, than being an actual sport, so Vince can get away with not having to adhere by the sports guidelines.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the term sports entertainment. I mean, when I say it, you've got to be able to at least hear the air quotes when I do say sports entertainment. But when I say wrestling is a different animal, it combines spectacle with athleticism, whereas like football and rugby, the spectacle is brought about by the athleticism. If that makes any sense.
But at the same time, it's still contact sport. And to be honest, wrestling is still considered more closely with, boxing, MMA, any martial arts contest.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You'll always find that in training, in a lot of training camps for, boxing, traditional wrestling,
yeah,
karate, taekwondo, et cetera,
yeah,
that when you're training, you have specialized gear. A lot of those will actually use headgear.
Mm-hmm. Well,
especially boxing and mixed martial arts.
I was going to say,
padded gloves, kick pads. They do the 95% of your body is going to be covered in some sort of padding during training.
Yeah.
And that's what wrestling is doing. It is getting to that type of level with this type of system.
So basically, it's about time wrestling caught up.
Yes, it's about time that we stop trying to treat wrestling as just entertainment and remember there is still the sport aspect and work on that sport aspect at the same time.
Yeah. See, I think that the two of us are pretty much on the same page as far as as far as wrestling versus other sports go. I don't think we have much to argue against each other over that.
I don't think anybody's going to be arguing for the addition of headgear to wrestling training.
Well, I'm thinking about,
I'm sure everybody is happy to know that wrestlers are being protected while they train, which means in the long run, we're going to have guys that, when they go through the developmental system, until they work the WWE style in their style and work it properly, they're going to be protected in such a manner that once they start working NXT, when they start getting onto the main shows, this is going to extend their career span by anywhere up to another 10 years.
Oh, quite possibly. Absolutely, definitely. The one thing that I do have running in the back of my mind, quote-unquote old school guys, people who are even older than me, what are they going to be thinking? And I'm just, this is not any kind of a derogatory statement or questioning or anything else like that. It's just out of curiosity. What is somebody like that going to be thinking about, what are you doing wearing headgear? This is, man up, blah, blah, blah. Like you brought up, right?
Fuck them. No, honestly, fuck them.
No, it's still funny.
If they want to fucking turn around and go, man up, you've been a pussy, you've been a wimp. When these sort of guys are still being able to work properly at, 80-90% when they're, 55 or older, compared to these old guys who had to retire before they hit 50 because their knees were shot, they had too many concussions, their neck was fucked, their back was this, it was that be a man mentality that's put a lot of these guys on the shelves.
It's why
a guy like Scott Hall has just had to raise $80,000 for fucking hip replacement surgery.
Yeah.
Because he was brought up in that type of mentality, be a man, suck it up.
Yeah.
Whereas if he had that protection during training, he'd still be wrestling fine now. Same with guys like Terry Funk. He wouldn't be this walking around, grinding skeleton that he is.
Oh, like Dynamite Kid probably.
He actually has some freaking cartilage left.
Yeah, Dynamite Kid probably wouldn't be living his life in a wheelchair.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Precaution early on is going to save these guys later in life.
Oh yeah. Well,
and it's not even just all that, just from basic injury. Think of how many guys are addicted to pain pills because they're taught to just get through it, you know, suck it up. It's going to hurt. It's wrestling.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you read any of the books of the guys that have been around for a while when they talk about their training and how their trainers would take one guy in class who's they've pegged as the wise ass. And they've concentrated, some pain delivering maneuvers on them. I mean, Chris Jericho talks about his own personal experiences. And, Brett talks about, in his book, he talks about some people that he's seen this done to. And of course, having Stu Hart as your father, stretching people in the dungeon and making them scream for, their lives. It's a totally different mindset.
If the types of sports medicine and mindsets that we have today were applied going back, 1960s, 1970s, we'd still see a lot of these guys in the ring. Mick Foley would still be an active wrestler. It's the fact that the change in the mentality has finally come around to the point where we're now looking at guys not as you can work for 20 years and then, to hell with you.
Yeah.
You're going to have guys that are going to be working 20, 30, upwards of 40 years in this business and still be able to retire at a point where they can get down on their hands and knees and play with their kids when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to actually be able to be well into their 50s and 60s and 70s and still remember their grandkids' names.
Mm-hmm.
As the thing with concussions, and I'm speaking from experience, it fucks your memory.
Yeah.
It really fucks with your memory. And for a lot of these guys that have multiple concussions, some guys counting, 15, 20, 25, 30 concussions over the span of 20 years.
Yeah.
Their memory's gonna be fucked.
Completely.
So, again, preventative at the start means better quality of life at the end.
Yeah. Now, of course, just playing devil's advocate here, when you're training with all of this stuff, doesn't it give you a false sense of invincibility for when you don't have it?
It does, but at the same time, if they handle it properly, which, believe me, Triple H will make sure that they do,
mm-hmm.
When people have gotten the bumps down enough that they're not going to run the risk of hurting themselves in training,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to start removing the protection, which mm-hmm. means that people being more aware of head positioning when taking a front bump or a back bump, it's going to make sure that they are aware of what they're doing, and they have to keep that in mind whenever they take a bump.
Now this headgear thing is applying to trainees. I'm assuming that it's the rooks and the noobs and the fresh meat and whatever catchphrases and words you want to use to describe them. What about the guy that's been on the independent circuit for 5 or 6 or 7 years? He was trained at Storm Wrestling Academy by Lance Storm, and now he's got a shot at WWE and he's in developmental. Does he put the protective gear on until he learns the WWE style?
I reckon it'd be a part of their contract. If they were smart, they put it as a part of the developmental contract you sign. They would make all their current guys in anywhere, I'd say NXT and below, mm-hmm. re-sign all contracts to say that you will have to spend X amount of time or until we say so in the protective training gear.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all your recent signees, El Generico and I know one of our local boys here just got he's leaving next week to head over.
Yeah, I read about that. I'm looking forward to seeing him when he finally
Matt Silver. A quick thing about Matt Silver. He's gonna look a lot smaller on television than he is in real life. This dude is like a brick shit house with legs.
Uh huh.
But an extremely nice guy.
Yeah.
all your newer guys, so all your newer signees are going to be required the second they get to, Florida, to the Florida developmental and all that, they're going to be required, as they're retraining themselves to work WWE style, to use this gear.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this much, with this new policy, if all the other factors going against them weren't enough, this practically guarantees you'll never see Teddy Hart in WWE.
That's fine. I can live with that.
Wow. Unexpected bonuses.
What's that, Omega?
An unexpected bonus.
There you go. Yeah.
I would actually, to be honest, like, especially because it's Triple H putting this in here, I would love to see him institute this to everybody on the roster.
Yeah.
That for a period of time, that when they're running their, or when they're planning all their spots and everything, before a show, strap on the gear and just run basic drills. Because I'll be honest, a lot of the guys that you're seeing now bump so sloppily, it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So maybe it's time to send everybody back to training camp
and teach them how to tighten things up.
Yep, because it means that there'll be a lot less mistakes. It means that there'll be a lot less guys having to take dangerous bumps that they don't know. And the unfortunate side effect is Botchamania might actually go out of business.
That might
be sad. But then again, they've always got Sin Cara, so.
Let's not go that far.
Oh my God, that was just, that was almost as cheap a shot as I delivered it. Omega, I dare you to put out anything that's contradictory or dissenting.
It'll make them look silly.
Kurt Angle will sue for gimmick infringement.
Got anything else?
Nope.
Okay, that's all you got. Jeez, I mean, the Kurt Angle thing, really? Seriously?
It's the only downside here.
Okay.
I'm fully in favor of this.
So there you go. Whatever you're doing, kids, whenever you got something going on where you got to train, make sure that you're fully protected. There's no reason to risk hurting yourself just because you're learning something. Bottom line. And, if it wasn't for Triple H, could you see this have come in if McMahon were still 100% in charge of absolutely everything? We know he's not anymore.
To be honest, I wouldn't even fully accredit this to Triple H.
No.
Because it's a name that in the article that we've got in our little rundown here, there's a name there that pops up that just pretty much gives a good idea of why. It's Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, okay.
He's been on and on and on for years about trying to get more safe training practices into the company.
Yeah.
So I've got a feeling that this is a part of something to appease him in order to have secured that Hall of Fame. But at the same time, Triple H, being the smart man that he is, sees this as a good evolution.
Take two.
Yeah, take two.
It's okay. We can edit this out before we post it.
Yeah, bullshit.
We're live.
Rock will turn it into a commercial.
Damn straight he will.
But Triple H knows this will be a good evolutionary step for training and the business in general.
I just want to see a video released by Scott Steiner that turns into a classic Scott Steiner train wreck, talking about wearing the protective gear. Why? I just want to see what he would do.
That would have the bad, it's the brother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember, if Kurt Angle's suing for gimmick infringements, Rick Steiner should be leading the case.
Well, yeah, him with the wrestling headgear and everything, yeah. I just, for some reason, can hear Scott Steiner railing against it and having it turn into a total, typical Scott Steiner train wreck. Where he threatens to sue somebody.
I'll be completely honest. Scott would have no problem with it. He'd probably be one of the people in favor of this. I doubt there is a wrestler, past or present, commentator, backstage guy, hell, even any online radio show that's going to have a problem with this being done.
Yeah, because you got to think, you got the old guard who were trained that way, and that, you know, and even if you're very purist about it, going, well, we're, you know, we're trained to suck it up and take the hits because this is how wrestlers do things. You know, even the people who are left from that mentality have seen so many of their friends go so early.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just, you know, just because proper precautions weren't taken for, you know, the wrestler's health. I don't see how you could be against this.
Yeah, I really can't find any justifying case against being properly attired when you're training, when you're learning. And you know, anybody who would argue against it is, I do believe, a bit of an idiot. Just a bit.
Total fucking moron, I think, is the term you're looking for.
Okay, why bother using subtlety and understatement when a blunt force trauma head wound will do? Thanks, Mace.
I think it puts a nice little exclamation point about what we've been talking about.
Absolutely. Speaking about what we've been talking about, is anybody sick of Ricardo yet?
No.
Fuck no.
Of course, I'm talking about the latest adventures of Alberto Del Rio and his sidekick, Ricardo. If Ricardo wasn't him, I wouldn't waste my time. It's just Del Rio bores me that much, but it's Ricardo that makes him good.
I suppose. But then again, we've been watching for months and months and months as Ricardo has been the one who does get the overstanding pop rather than Del Rio.
Yeah. Well, you stop and you think about it, when Del Rio was the bad guy and the heel, Ricardo's out there, he's getting the pop, everybody sees Del Rio and they do the boo thing and like, But now that, you know, you're supposed to cheer Del Rio, Ricardo's pop has gotten just that much louder. But, yeah, we've got a bit of an audio clip. You guys ready for this?
Sure.
Hit it!
And this is Jack Swagger. America today is divided. On one side of this great divide are hard-working, red-blooded Americans. Americans made of the right stuff. American stuff. On the other side of this divide are foreigners who cross our borders illegally. They sneak into this great country. They take our jobs.
They take our jobs.
They marry our women and steal our God-given freedoms. You may ask yourself, who are these dangerous interlopers who are ruining the great fabric of this nation with their products? Canadians! That's right, Canada with a Canadia. Oh, sure, they might look like you and me, but don't be fooled. They speak with funny accents, eh? They salute a different flag, and they play sports. Sports on ice. Ice. They are smuggling a substance into our country that is so pure, so addictive, and so expensive that it is threatening the health of our native citizens. The name of this scourge...
Poutine.
Maple syrup! That's right, Jack Swagger. Maple syrup. So, fellow Americans, the next time you find yourself with a plate full of pancakes in front of you... I really like pancakes. Think about how you're destroying America. Jack, again, the people. The people!
Those dirty, stinking Canadians.
Yeah, now Drew's girl wants pancakes. I find it kind of funny. the whole thing. I was positive. He should have said poutine, because that stuff, that's evil. That crap is just, that'll kill you.
Yeah, but the more people know about maple syrup from Canada than they do poutine.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with maple syrup. I'll tell you, it's some real good shit, dude.
Yes, but when we're mocking a character with a very thin persona, we have to go with the most basic of stereotypes.
Yeah, I suppose so. Okay, do you know what 3 as opposed to 97 is?
That would be the amount.
Salt content?
Okay, I don't know what you're both trying to say, but you're both wrong. 3, that's the percentage of Canadians that say the word A. 97 is the percentage of the rest of the world that make fun of us for doing so. Just saying.
You got to remember, I'm from Australia. People have been making fun of our accent, way of talking, animals in our country and everything else for the past, couple hundred years.
You know, kind of like God was having an off day when he made the platypus. Ah, fuck, we'll put it in Australia. Nobody will notice. Jokes like
pretty
that.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And considering that people give you shit for hockey, ice, maple syrup, and and a boot, 5 compared to shitloads.
Yeah, we have ways of making you
shut
say
up,
the
Tim.
Letter O. Yeah. So, what do you think of what they're doing?
It's funny. I laugh at it.
Yeah. Is it making you want to see Del Rio versus Swagger any more than you already do?
Nothing makes me want to see Swagger in a match.
Yeah, he's got a point there.
Yeah, no, he does have a very valid point. I mean, if it wasn't for Swagger and Zeb Coulter or whatever doing this crap that they're doing, making fun of the Tea Party and the Libertarians and those other idiots. And I only did that to get a reaction out of Lindsay, see what happens. We would be denied these little skits that they're doing. And the skits are the best part of this entire, well, they're the only part of this entire feud, I guess, that would be watchable, guys.
Yeah, no justification for it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
I mean, Ricardo. You can make a funny skit pretty easily.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for there's got to be a skit where, you know, Ricardo gets pulled over with a bag of Doritos or something.
Oh, that would be funny. As soon as you said that, I just pictured it.
He rocks up late for Raw and Del Rio turns around and asks him, you know, why are you late? Oh, I got pulled over with a bag of Doritos. The cop didn't like it. Just nice little dig at Swagger because it's more than the fucking company's doing.
Just picturing that whole thing, then it just comes off if they could do it and do it properly. You'll never see this on WWE bloody TV.
By the way, Lindsay, corner.
Well, she got to put her in a timeout.
Yeah, she knows why.
Well, all I can say is Foster's is not a good beer, Mace.
Oh, it's actually American made.
It's that other stuff that you guys drink that I like, and I can't remember the frickin' name of it. It's 12% alcohol or whatever.
That could be just about anything, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's number 2 to Foster's.
It could be VB, it could be the Carlton Draft. We got other stuff here. Cooper's!
That's it, Cooper's.
Cooper's is good.
I like Cooper's.
To be honest, I've had, you know, the localized that you can get in just about any store in Australia. I've had the international export version, which is what you guys would get. But I've also had the straight from the brewery in South Australia, and oh my God, awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, when my sister, who happens to be a high school teacher, was she spent a year in Toowoomba, Australia, which, by the way, everybody, if you're wondering, it's on the east side of Australia. But she spent a year as an exchange teacher. She taught a class down there while the teacher for that class actually taught my sister's class up here in Canada. My sister came back. She actually smuggled in some Coopers. Not the exported stuff for the international market, but the actual down-home stuff. And the difference is night and day, and that stuff's good. So.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, that being said.
I haven't got any beer to drink here, so let's stop talking about it.
So we should not make you thirsty any longer. On that note, everybody, let's take our second little timeout of the evening. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, yeah, we've got a little bit of discussion to go concerning Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. Of course, the show's just under 2 weeks away. We'll talk a little bit about that, but we've also got Roundtable by Yourself, The Great Debate, and, of course, Quick Hits. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Kayfabe Fresh them since 1983.
Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, but
hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Ah?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Ed. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WTR Sunday Night Rose Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, everybody, thanks for joining us while we ramble about wrestling and other shit that we talk about. Yeah, speaking of which, I'm looking forward to.
Before you start, what Rock? What is your obsession with Canadians tonight? We had Jericho bring us back from the first break. We've had Edge bring us back from this one. Who's next? Trish Stratus?
No, because that was our final break.
Well, there you go. I just know it's a very Canadian theme to the returns this week.
Well, you think it's bad tonight, wait till next Sunday.
They were WWE stars, so, you know, I went there. I wasn't thinking Canadian. Just so happens we've interviewed Canadian WWE superstars.
It's a coinkydink. That's all it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty sure it's just a coincidence. Yep.
I don't think I've played Edge in a while, so that's why I threw that one in there.
Oh, there you go. See, you weren't even thinking it just happened.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Jericho's new, Edge was old. Figured I'd play them.
Kind of like, you know, William Shatner just got lucky and that, you know, became Captain Kirk.
I'm not even go there.
There you go.
Not even. Anyway.
Well, yeah. No, I know a little bit of Star Trek trivia that nobody else does. The reason why James T. Kirk is James T. He was named James T. as an homage to the first man officially recorded killed in action in Vietnam.
I don't.
The first American.
I don't
anyway.
Think anyone asked to know about that fact.
I just, you know, stating it because.
And you gave Omega and I shit about geek references at the start of the show.
Well, I felt left out, alright?
By the way, if you're playing along, take a shot because Tim Stein made a Star Trek reference.
There you go. That's right, we're playing the Tim Stein Star Trek drinking game. Every time I say anything about Star Trek, you gotta take a drink. One of these days, I'm gonna get everybody absolutely fucking blind drunk.
And
I'm gonna do it on purpose.
And now, useless trivia, take another shot.
There you go. Oh, speaking of which.
No, the only time we all get blind stinking drunk is where we're all together in the one building. Okay. When one of us wins the lottery and we all get together to go see, like, WrestleMania or something, that's the only time you're going to hear all of us drunk at the same time. Except for Omega, because he doesn't drink.
Well, we'll make him drink. We'll just tell him that it's grape juice plus.
No.
Yeah,
we don't
no.
make him drink. We don't make him drink. More respect than that, okay?
I was kidding, for crying out loud. People don't understand
we
that.
We make Alan drink.
Oh, now,
we're going to break anybody's straight edge streak, we're going to break his, okay?
I don't know. Could you really handle a drunk Alan Wojcik?
Yeah, probably.
That'd be like Dr. McCoy trying to handle a drunk Vulcan. Take a shot.
And Lindsay wants a mega share of the booze.
Lindsay can have a mega share of the booze. Of course she can.
Lindsay, we're splitting it.
But talk to me after Wednesday, guys. The Canadian Lotto 649 is up to $11 million, and I have a ticket.
So I should be.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. All right. If I win the $11 million Canadian, which is I think $10,999,995 Australian dollars, mate, and $11.2 million American, all you guys will be coming to Calgary for March 30th. How's that sound?
What time is
it? If you can somehow arrange my passport in like less than 2 weeks, considering it takes about a month to process, go for it.
Well, you know, we'll fast track it or something. I don't know. We'll figure something out. I'll have $11 million. Money talks, bullshit watch.
Speaking of March 30th, Tim, don't you have a big event then?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be putting on a little bit of a show called March Mayhem, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
Yes, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling presents March
How
Mayhem.
How original of a title.
Hey, you could have went with March Madness. Then that would have been original.
Yeah, I didn't want to take that much of a razzing from you guys. Because it was suggested I call it March Madness in no fucking way.
Yeah, no, that was, no.
No, not a hope in hell.
No. But apparently, Tim, there's word around the interwebs that, you know, Giant Divine is unhappy about this whole match you have for him at March Mayhem. Mm.
Here it comes again. Yeah, he's pissed off because his title's going to be on the line in the main event.
Right.
Which normally is like, well, okay, your title's on the line, you've got to defend the damn thing. Thing is, our main event happens to be a six-man tag match.
I like how you knocked on wood right there, by the way.
Yeah. That was my, that was all 100% coincidental, Rock. Thanks a lot. I wasn't even thinking about it when I did it. But now, yeah. There you go. Yeah. But, yeah, the six-man tag match where whoever scores the pinfall victory winds up the Commonwealth champion. And Divine's all up in arms. What am I doing defending my title in a tag match? It's simple. It's in Johnny Devine's standard contract with Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. It's a stipulation that every single wrestler has and has read over and has signed, stating any and all titles must be defended either every 30 days or every Canadian All-Pro Wrestling event, whichever comes first.
Say Johnny, you know, twisted his ankle and cannot compete. Would he be stripped of the title?
Depending on that depends on the circumstances. Generally, something like that, you make provisions for injuries. He's, you know, wasn't injured at the last show.
But you know, sometimes there's a freak thing. You know, like they get off the bus or they're like coming up to the show and they twist their ankle and they can't compete. You're gonna actually enforce him to, you know, defend the title?
Okay, you're just being an ass for the sake of being an ass. I told you there are circumstances.
You didn't let me ask the question I wanted to ask, so yes, I'm being an ass right now.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be an ass just because you're told no. That's called being a spoiled little brat. I've got a 13-year-old. I don't need you.
Tim, the answer for the question is card is always subject to change.
There's that, too, and as a matter of fact, it says so right on the posters. Card subject to change. Every single Canadian All-Pro Wrestling poster says card subject to change. Now, again, if he does, say, wind up being injured in a freak incident, Rock, that has nothing to do with Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, there are contingency factors. If he can climb into that ring, he defends his title. Bottom line.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it's clear to everyone. That's all.
Now, yeah, you just wanted to try to put me on the spot is what you wanted to do. Nice try. I'm not, you know, dumb.
So, yeah, you're not dumb. But, you know, speaking of this show, rumor has it you're going to have, like, a standing room only crowd.
It's big. This is huge. I mean, been selling tickets left, right, and center. I just sold 6 this afternoon on the way home. right? Another six. Logan Cross has got 30 people who want tickets. I've got more tickets that I've got to print out more tickets already, right? And this is looking to be the biggest show, so far for Canadian All Pro, wrestling.
Very nice.
So yeah, looking forward to it. I'm expecting a huge turnout and a few other things. I'm looking forward to the fact that we are actually going to have an entrance tunnel.
Ooh, spiffy. Yep.
Well, the Canadian Royal Canadian Legion that we hold the shows in has an elevator that they have just finished getting up and running and fixed and redone and everything else like that. And the elevator leads from the second floor to the first floor, naturally. We're on the first floor for the shows. And the locker rooms are on the second floor. And we will have the entrance tunnel butted right up against the wall where the elevator is. So that's one new thing that's going to be taking place with our shows.
So was that the big announcement you have for everybody that you got yourselves an entrance ramp? Or an entrance way?
No, that's not the big announcement. There is a huge, huge thing, a massive deal that we just have to, cross a couple of more T's and dot one or two more I's to make it official. I can't really tell you what it is until next Sunday because it's not going to be made, you know, it's not going to be finalized until Friday is the next meeting. But, it's a huge, big deal, and I'll give you a hint. People in Alberta are going to be absolutely ecstatic.
So can I make a guess on what it's going to be?
Say what?
Can I make a guess on what the announcement's going to be?
I'm scared about you making a guess about what the announcement
is. Canadian All Pro has just been bought out by Panda Energy.
Oh, hell no!
No, I thought you, because you said it's going
to... Wait, you're giving the company to the guys that ran the Heart Legacy Wrestling Show.
Into the ground? Oh, hell no!
You going to, you know, get rid of Steven Styles from the whole Alberta Providence? Because you said it affects Alberta, so getting rid of Steven Styles completely?
That would be a godsend and a miracle, and I don't think that's going to ever happen.
Yeah, that would be next to impossible to get Steven Styles all the way out of Alberta. I mean, the guy, you know, like when he sits around the house, sorry to pull out the old joke, but you can finish it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the guy's so big, he's standing in Newfoundland, he's still in Alberta. Think about it. And I don't mean big like built muscular. I mean big as one too many pierogies. Lay off the canishes.
And the maple syrup, eh?
Don't you be picking on my...
Oh, Lindsay. Oh.
What did Lindsay say?
That your major announcement is that you're debuting the cross-dressing gimmick, Tina Stein.
No. And piss off.
You're going to have many camera angles with really good cameras this time.
Yeah, but not on the internet.
Oh. Well, what about Not-So-Spectacular Red's getting a title shot?
Not-So-Spectacular Red. Who is that? Are you picking on Casey Metzenegger or something?
That's the thing. See, that's the thing here. We don't know. It was just a guy who was dressed in all red.
Did he have black hair?
We don't remember.
That just narrows it down to two guys. That was either Stripe or Keishi Matsunaga, who, by the way, is getting better with his English.
Yay.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
I don't know.
Oh, shit. He knows what's happening at his contract hearing now.
That's the detriment to me. I can't Jew him out anymore.
Anyway.
What? Oh, are you taking offense to that, Rock? Why?
No, you just mentioned you're Jewing somebody.
Uh-huh.
Shows you are wrong. Anyway.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bastard. Anyway, get on with it.
Anyway, one other thing, you know, playing the part of journalist here on the show.
What are you doing? You're on the internet. What are you doing pretending to be a journalist?
It's what people do.
I see.
There's some sort of footage floating around about Lucas Cross or something or other?
Yeah, I was contacted by apparently a fan of Canadian All Pro Wrestling who was at one of the LRT stations over the weekend. And I was informed of something that went down with Logan Cross. So I don't know exactly what's going on. I got to check it out and find out what's going on. But hopefully I can get my hands on that video footage before this coming weekend.
Wait, wait, wait. You have fans?
Yes, he has many fans, actually. They make belts.
I thought he did like, you know, Wrestlicious does and just pays the hobos off the street, comes in the crowd.
No, hell no.
People actually pay to come and see shit that I put together.
Yeah, and they actually make belts. Little kids make belts about Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
I've got an entire family of like 6 kids and the 2 parents.
I've seen them and I've seen the belts. They're better designed than the WWE belts.
Yes, actually they are. And as a matter of fact, the heavyweight championship belt, fan belt. By the way, you guys can see these belts if you want. Go to www.canadianallpro.com, hit the gallery rock. If you've got any images of these fan-made belts that you can throw up on JTV for people to see, that would be awesome.
Working on it.
So while we're waiting for him to dig them up, because I knew he was already digging them up before I even mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It was all pretty correct. He says, hey, dude, can't wait to see the show on March 30th. But there's the belt right there. And that's being held by one of our fans. And that's, if you can go back to that picture and just hold it on there for a minute. But that belt looks better than the WWE title. Mace is absolutely 100% correct. When it comes around, just hit freeze frame right there.
It's on there.
Yeah, there it is, right there. And I looked at that thing, and when I first saw that, I said, damn, we should actually get our heavyweight title belt made to look like that, because that's awesome. And they've all got all these different belts. I mean, they're the little boys and the little girls. They've got the Cruiserweight, then they got the U.S. Yeah, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling now has a U.S. title, thanks to these fans. But there's a Diva title that the young girl there has. And they're working on tag belts and the whole bit, and it's just absolutely awesome. They come to every show with these belts and just like show them off, and it's just the most awesome thing. We make sure that they get to sit in the front row, even though it's, you know, rush seating. But you know, you do stuff like that, and you're gonna get that kind of a benefit, right?
Indeed.
That's just awesome. Mace, you're in the chat room. You can see all those belts.
Yes, I can, if I decide to actually turn on the stream.
Yeah, if you, like, take a look.
So basically, Tim, that's, you know, them having the U.S. titles proves U.S. is greater than Canada, right?
No. It doesn't. So. You can just keep going until you're blue in the face. You're never going to get me to say that the U.S. is greater than Canada.
You just did. Thank you very much.
I did not.
We'll have a clip.
And if
later.
You use that as a clip, I will kill you. I will send a memo to Buffalo, New York, and I will cause you to have a heart attack.
Yeah, wait, you know, let's see him anyway. Return a phone call from you. Anyway.
Don't you dare make that into a clip, Brady.
Oh, trust me, I will be.
So I want to get my hands on this video footage that I've been rambling about for the last half hour and find out exactly what this person is talking about. He just said that, yeah, you know, I took some video. We're going to get Logan Cross's autograph because we saw him using the LRT, and you got to see the video, and that's how they left it. So I'm going to check that out and see what's going on with that.
So people should stay tuned to CanadianAllPro.com.
Absolutely. As of tomorrow, straight up through and into March the 30th, there's going to be stuff winding up appearing on the website. So.
Content. Woohoo!
Yeah, there you go. And even if you aren't in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, you will get a chance to. Now, I'm only saying this to people who don't live in Alberta. If you live in Alberta, turn your sound off right now. Like Calgary Indie Wrestling Rules, you can listen because I know who you are and you already know what we're doing, so that's all good. Don't worry about it. But and I forget completely. Oh yeah. come to the Wild Talk Radio Network, we'll actually have live streaming video from the event.
See, it's March 30th.
Yes, live streaming video, and if we're bored enough, we might actually have some special commentary.
We did the last two events, so, you know, come over and enjoy the fun.
Well, you might have a better camera angle to do video, to do commentary, too. How's that sound?
That would be fantastic.
We're working on that, working on placing the camera up on the stage, which means I have to move Vinnie Fever off the stage, which, again, is another monumental task.
Wow, just taking shots at your people.
Said that, and as soon as I said that, I thought, maybe I shouldn't have said it. Nah, the hell with it. He doesn't listen anyway.
So, I could send this
kick him in the dick and roll him off the stage. It's all good.
There you go. There you go. We'll figure out something to keep him off the stage, but there's a reason to keep him off the stage that I'll tell you guys afterwards when we're off the air.
He's a bit of a spoiler, man.
There you go.
So anyway, we should get back into real wrestling talk, but you should tell people before we do that how to get tickets.
Yep. For those of you who are in the Calgary area, you want to come to the show, check it out. All you have to do is call 587-894-7369. Grab your damn tickets. Like I told you, they're selling like crazy, and I've got a feeling it's going to be standing room only. So Calgary Indie Wrestling Rules, dude, in the chat room, make sure that you get yourself and the wife and the two kids, they're early enough that you can actually get a seat, so you don't have to be risk having to stand in the back room, or the back of the room. I'll figure out what I'm trying to say eventually.
As you do that, I think we should move on.
Yeah. So thanks very much for being patient, listening to me yap about Canadian All Pro Wrestling. Why don't we go into a little bit of roundtable discussion.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
And I love our roundtable discussion tonight because this is something, Rock, did you just cook this up? Because you and I were talking about this earlier, not that long ago.
Had nothing to do with our conversation, but
it's just totally coincidental. And
yeah.
That rocks when it's coincidental, as opposed to it's something that's all like set up by you because of something.
Right. So just move on.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a stretch. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Just, you know, sometimes. Anyway, here's the roundtable discussion for this week. People in the chat room, play along and post your thoughts and opinions in the chat. We will read them. Do wrestling storylines need to be more sophisticated, read complex and complicated, to capture a bigger audience? What do you think, Omega?
I'm not sure if complexity is the right word for it.
Yeah.
You know, it really depends. Like, one of the big reasons that WWE storytelling isn't really that compelling is because it is very superficial.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is like, you know, you take a situation like, okay, Swagger and Del Rio, and it's really just about, you know, it really, the whole storyline is just about race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a low common denominator thing that you can go to. It's one of the most basic feuds you could ever set up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember the storylines that I was attached to were the ones that had history, they had mystery, they had intrigue to them. You know, when you had the Undertaker of all people going on about a higher power.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, well, who was a higher... Who's the higher power that could command the Undertaker? You know, and he, you know, with him, his feud with, you know, and him feuding with the McMahons that, you know, ended up being a hoax the entire time.
Yeah.
That was a lot more compelling. I mean, that made you interested to tune in week after week. I'm not interested to tune in week after week to see the next part of a story where, Is Del Rio still a foreigner? Yes, he is. I'm pretty sure I know how it's going to go.
Uh-huh.
So it needs a certain level of complexity. It doesn't need to be, you know, a Tolkien novel or anything, but it needs depth, okay, is what it needs. It needs a different element to it besides a surface.
Something that just is feels like it's forced just to bring you a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you say, Mace?
It all depends on the situation. Some storylines can be grandiose and complex. For example, the Aces and Eights storyline in TNA has been gone on for like 9 months. Has a simple premise of, we are a group of people, you are not going to know who we are until we tell you we are ready to reveal ourselves. Until then, we're just going to kick your ass.
Yep.
Simple premise.
Yep.
But the deeper story of Bully Ray's manipulation of Hulk Hogan, Brooke, TNA in general, using Aces and Eights to get himself to the world title, is a lot more deeper and complex.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you've got other storylines such as Punk and Undertaker, which is going to be very, very simple in nature. Yeah. I've disrespected something you love, come at me, bro. You know,
there is a level of deep depth to that, though.
There is, but at the same time, there's always a simple premise and a deeper storyline.
Yeah.
So, depending on your situation, you can have something very simple as, you know what, I don't like you. I don't like you either. Let's fight. Indeed.
Well,
fight.
That's the way they did it in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. You can have that type of storyline and have it be entertaining.
Yep.
But you can also have something like, I'm planning this big plot like a Hollywood movie villain that's going to take, you know, 9, 10, 12 months to culminate.
Yeah.
And
or you can
people
have something
will hang on that.
Or you can have something that just pisses off your opponent for real, and not just storyline-wise, like Roddy Piper painting half his body black when he's in a feud with Bad News Brown.
Yeah. This is, you can have simplicity, you can have complexity, and there's always going to be a segment of the audience that's going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But do we need to really get everything so sophisticated to capture a bigger audience?
Doesn't that like generally backfire when you get too complex? I mean, many times have we sat around watching pay-per-views together, and it's, you know, more so like especially TNA, not lately, but like just a few years ago, and we would see a Russo finish.
No, that's the difference between storyline and bad booking.
Okay.
you got to realize that we're talking story versus the week booking of how a show goes or how a match is planned.
Yeah,
you know, you yourself can understand the difference of overall versus tiny segment.
Yeah. Well, we got a couple of people responding in the chat room. Starscream Josh says, "Just keep it simple for the major public." Okay, I can understand that. You're looking for the most generic, accessible thing to do, and that's basically just like, you know, the majority of people, it's like listening to a commercial song as opposed to album oriented rock. That's what that says to me, right? A song by Michael Jackson as opposed to an album by Pink Floyd. Now, when you listen to Pink Floyd, you have to listen to the entire album because the entire album tells a story, whereas Michael Jackson and the album Thriller, each song was just a little encapsulated thing. Does that analogy hold?
Not really.
Okay. Please elaborate. Yeah.
Well, it does in a sense, because if you're gonna compare it to music, then WWE is this concert where you hear all these different things play out. You know, you get basically, you know, like, you know, you know, 6 to 10 very small storylines going on. But at the same time, if you're talking about seeing something, you know, if you're at a concert, okay, it's awesome, it's live, cool. But when you're watching a product on TV, it does need change. You know, it does need something other than just, you know, what you're presented with or what you could get at any time. The CM Punk storyline with The Undertaker. You know, this is Punk going back to his disrespect angle, where he's offended that the WWE audience is taking something from him, so he's going to take away something they love, and that is the streak. And, okay, so this plays into CM Punk's history, plays into his persona. You know, yep. It's more of a personal thing against the fans. Okay, that works. Now,
yep.
When we saw this storyline take place, when the storyline kicked off, though, they held a fatal four-way to decide who was going to face The Undertaker, which is a stupid way of doing it because, you know, we've gone the last 4 years and that's not how it's worked. You know, yeah. Now you're treating the streak like a title belt.
Mm-hmm.
But if that had been the start of the storyline, it would have been very simple. It would have been, you know, it would have been fine for that day. Okay. But what after that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you didn't have CM Punk's, you know, the angle that CM Punk is working with right now, you know, yep. trying to take something from the WWE universe, you wouldn't have anything to keep you coming back. It's just one guy who kind of wants to be the man who takes yep. down Taker. And there's just nothing to keep you coming back and keeping you interested in that storyline.
Well, isn't that the whole thing about the streak? Isn't the streak the storyline in itself, and it doesn't need a whole hell of a lot more? Is like, we got a different guy coming in who thinks he's better than the Undertaker, and he's going to try to stop the streak.
I know. I mean, the streak itself is a story. It's a catalyst. It is like a championship belt. It is a means
would they,
to.
Yeah. Would you call that the MacGuffin?
Well,
which is like in the movie talk.
No,
that's
no. Can we not get into the discussion of what is and isn't a MacGuffin, because that could take up 20 years. And yeah, we don't have Lord MacGuffin here to tell us what it is exactly.
Right.
All right.
Thank God for references only Omega and I get.
No, but the streak is it's a means to an end. It is, you know, the storyline in and of itself. But that doesn't mean that's all that it has to be. I mean, when we've seen it in the past, you know, it was, you know, true. Okay, it was, you know, originally, this kind of started with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And as far as matches go, that was more or less, that was the more traditional kind of, well, this is a match we're having. You know, we're kind of polar opposites right now. And we're going to fight. The second time it was career versus streak. It was Shawn trying to prove that he actually could do it. He was trying for redemption and failed. Triple H was out for revenge.
Yeah.
And then on the second run, it was the end of the era. It was the last two guys from the Attitude Era having one last enormous match. Mm-hmm. And now, this year, it is about respect. It is about CM Punk taking something from the WWE universe. The streak plays into it, but it's not the real meat of the story.
Yeah. Okay. We've got another guy in the chat room I happen to know lives in High River, Alberta here, 45 minutes south of where I am. He says, and tell me if this sounds familiar, guys, longer storylines with more of a build-up for the payoff, not just 3 to 4 week stories leading up to the next pay-per-view. Anybody?
Which has actually become a lot more of a moot point.
Uh-huh.
If you've noticed that we're starting to get months in advance storylines, we've had storylines that have been built up over the 1 year period.
Yeah.
So we are getting those longer storylines, but we are still getting those short 3-4 week storylines as well.
Yeah.
It's a mixture of everything that attracts everybody.
Yeah.
That attracts that bigger audience. You know, it's like with any longer running TV show, for example, The Walking Dead. Again,
which, by the way, I've become addicted to. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you had, originally it was very simple. People wake up in a zombie apocalypse. Survival is their main theme. You know, we have to survive, we have to get away from the zombies. It evolves more into a character drama.
Yep.
Where you start learning about the problems of the people, of the survivors, and what they've had to go through to become the people they are, and they're looking towards the future. While that still simple premise of we have to survive is considered your week to week.
Yeah.
The overall character drama is what goes over the series.
Yeah.
Same thing can be said about wrestling. Your short term and your long term work together to attract your audience. And making more sophisticated, longer storylines isn't exactly going to guarantee a bigger audience as per the question.
Well, can you take a simple storyline? Can you take a simple storyline? Don't make it like super sophisticated and complex, but something simple and stretch it out?
You can, but again, it's the combination of short and long, complex and simple.
Yeah.
No one thing is absolute. It is a mixture of everything.
Yeah. Calgary Indie Wrestling Rules also says that he's not convinced complex storylines will reach a broader audience. He believes it's more characters, match types, and promotion. And I think that plays a lot into it.
If you're thinking of individual events, yes, that is a way of drawing attention. But we've seen that with WWE, where now they've got these gimmick pay-per-views that are supposed to be these big things. We're playing up the wrapping rather than the present inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that it hasn't really worked because the pay-per-view numbers are still just kind of meh. For all their trouble to rebrand the pay-per-views under gimmicks, there really isn't that much of a gain for it, if any.
Yeah.
So, it's trying to wrap up something simple in this really fancy package that, it's fine when you look at it from afar, untouched, but as soon as you start opening it, as soon as you start looking through it, there's just nothing there anymore. Okay, fine. You're sick. Okay, fine. We're going to put this match in a Hell in a Cell. Okay, we're going to have a Hell in a Cell this pay-per-view. Oh, that's great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, number one, you just killed the whole menace of the Cell by announcing ahead of time that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And two, well, it's, in the end, it's just a really big cage match. Once I get beyond that, it's still what matters. It's still the guys in the match and why they are actually fighting in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, Mace has a good point. I mean, when you saw, when I was talking about, that ministry storyline, that's not the only thing going on through the show. It's the main focus, mm-hmm. but you had the undercard doing feuds. The Intercontinental title was in dispute. You had, little goofy things like the hardcore belt that were good on a week-to-week basis. But you do need that ongoing major event that plays out for longer periods of time in order to have this ongoing narrative. Mm-hmm. What is going to happen next week? What is this going to lead to? You don't have that if you're just playing it week-to-week.
So pretty much basically, depending on the circumstances, there are times when it does need to be a little bit more sophisticated, but at the same time, there are other circumstances and situations where you can get away from over-complexity and overthinking an angle. Mm-hmm. And I guess that is a good way for me to summarize the roundtable. So why don't we move into your thing, Rock?
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Bob.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or Sal.
No! 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 No!
No! No!
Buy or sell the return of the Bella Twins, Mace.
As much as... Okay, again, this is, like, going to be, like, the CM Punk thing. I have two different opinions on this. As a fan, sell, I don't like the Bellas. I don't want the Bellas on my television. However, they ended up with Sandow and Rhodes, which is fucking hilarious and works so well. that posterior, man, that posterior. But... Yeah, I as a fan, I don't like the Bellas. Sell, sell, sell. But as somebody who looks at things from a business standpoint, I buy it because the Divas division is that small, that deficient on characters right now that they really need the Bellas back. It's gotten to that stage where I'd even welcome Kelly Kelly back. That's how bad the division has gone.
Oh my God!
So anything to bolster that division is a good thing.
Tommy in our chat room goes, sell, sell, sell. Starscream Josh goes, sell. Omega.
Don't bother selling it. Throw it in a field, set it on fire, and run.
Don't mince words, Omega. Tell us what you really think.
Yes, the Divas division is very deficient right now. However, I would rather them build with what they have and rework it into something that works in the short term. You know, more emphasis on valets and managerial roles rather than trying to have a Divas division where clearly none exists. Then try to salvage the Divas division as it stands now by bringing in a bunch of people who decided that they didn't want to be part of it anymore.
Oh my God, I don't think Starscream Josh gets either sarcasm or any satire or any of that shit.
Anyway, Kankins goes by. At least they can kind of work in the ring and make the division a bit deeper. Lindsay says, stick them on the street corner and sell them. Tim.
Well, when you hear
Lindsay
say stuff...
No, that's where they picked up the Bellas from.
There you go. Yeah, when you hear Lindsay say stuff like that, you have to wonder if it's just apathy or jealousy. Oh, I'm going to hear about that later, aren't I?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Anyways, probably about a minute.
Yeah, you know what? So, because their one gimmick that they had going for them is no longer usable. They can't pull a bait and switch ever since, who was it, Brie got boobs?
I guess that's when they got boobs. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hide under the ring and say, oh, no, I'm hurt. No, you're not. You got bigger tits than she does. Shit. Busted. Well, there you go. You know, like, so, yeah.
Technically, the referee can't do that because it would be construed as sexual harassment.
Oh, please.
Buy or sell The Rock in a Star Wars film, Tim.
Sell! Sell, sell, sell. I'm sorry, I just can't wrap my head around if you smell what Jar Jar Binks is cooking.
Starscream Josh says, nuke it, Mace.
Yep.
The worst thing was he said that while he was in Australia. If I had a sniper rifle, a stealth suit, and a quick trip to Sydney, I would have put a bullet in his brain before he said it.
That could be construed.
We throw him on the fucking bonfire with the Bellas.
Yeah. That could be construed as a threat. You better be careful.
It's not a fucking threat. It's a promise when the technology is available.
And pointing out the fact that one twin sister has bigger tits than the other is not sexual harassment. Thank you.
it's a fact of life. But that being said... No, Rocky, no.
Oh,
it, No, he, no, no, I'm not done yet.
Jeff is
no. Oh, I ain't done yet. The Rock in Star Wars is just so fucking out of place, okay? Yes, I know there's been a very big lack of black characters in the Star Wars universe because the only one that seemed to ever pop up in six movies was Samuel Jackson. But then again, Samuel Jackson, badass motherfucker, versus The Rock, wannabe action star.
Well, okay, here's a scenario, and I stole this from the chat room. I gotta ask you. Seriously.
Shush, I'm not done yet.
I don't want to forget this.
I'm not done yet.
All right, go ahead.
That being said, The Rock, stay the fuck out of Expendables.
Okay, take the lesser.
Sorry, that is a vehicle for the action stars that we actually liked and loved as kids coming back doing what we love them doing. You are not an action star that belongs on the same levels.
Okay,
you're
guys,
not even close to even being the lowest rung on that ladder, being Jason Statham.
Okay, guys. Hang on. Chat room, everybody listening, are you ready to see Mace's head explode? Listen and watch. Mace, lesser of two evils, Rock in Star Wars or Rock in Expendables? And
both!
What a mess. Get somebody to clean that up. I'm going to give the boy a
back to bang. Star Wars, out of Expendables. And you know what? Stick with G.I. Joe, because as much as I like G.I. Joe, at least you fit in that universe. Rock the lightsaber? No!
So the short answer is sell, right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger? No! I only want to see The Rock in Expendables if Stallone comes back as Rocky and punches him in the face!
Mace, read the chat room. Read Spook's comment. Dwayne, he's got a character for Dwayne Johnson in Star Wars.
No!
Jango Fett. The D is silent.
The thing is, the original character was so for that original wording, it just would not work. I will accept Rock in Star Wars if he plays a descendant of Jabba the Hutt. That's the only way I'll do it. That way I don't have to look at him and know that he's ruining one of my favorite sci-fi series ever.
Yeah, but wouldn't that take you out of the movie realizing that one of the huts just happens to be the Rock in latex?
Mace.
What?
I have one word for you. Wookie.
Oh. Still?
You cover him in hair. It's a species that fits his physique.
No.
But the thing is, can he be the one that beats Chewbacca at chess and gets his arms ripped off? I'll be okay with it as long as The Rock dies some sort of really, really horrible, horrible death. With much dismemberment as possible so I can laugh my ass off.
Okay. I think Josh is right. I think we just broke Mace.
All right, just to be clear, to clarify, Mace is buying this, right?
No! Sell! Burn it! Destroy it! Put it on Craigslist! I don't care! Get rid of it!
Yeah, Kane Kittens, The Rock was already in a Star Trek. Shut up. No.
Omega.
Okay, everybody take a drink.
Omega.
Bye!
Fuck you!
You just did that to watch his head explode, didn't you? Bastard. You evil bastard.
Ooh, I have fun.
You're an evil bastard.
Okay, and in all seriousness, as much seriousness as we can have on this topic, sell. And I'm not going to rage it. I'm not going to rage over it. Rock fits better in, like, throwback Schwarzenegger-style movies. You know, where it's supposed to be this big cheesy action thing where a guy with big muscles goes in and beats the shit out of stuff.
Like The Rundown. Hey, there's an idea. Put The Rock in The Rundown. Buy or sell.
What? When it comes to just from a casting standpoint, when it comes to Star Wars, all your traditional characters are not the physically cut, muscle bound characters you see. You've got Jedis that are closer to martial artists. They are lean cut. They are quick, not bulky or powerful. They're mystic, not forceful. You have bounty hunters that use, you know, equipment, gadgets, weapons, that type of thing. You've got smugglers who are just really sneaky and deceptive. There isn't really a Star Wars style hero that fits the mold of Dwayne Johnson. So just the casting standpoint, you'd have to. What?
So you can't see him playing like Lando or something like that?
No.
Just throwing it out there.
Because Lando is just a businessman.
Okay, let's just get this clarified right now. The next three Star Wars movies are not a reboot. It's a continuation.
Right.
It'll be 7, 8, 9.
Uh-huh.
And Yes, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Han Ford. Harrison Ford will be in at least the next movie.
Mace. Do you realize what Final Fantasy and Star Wars have in common?
Too many sequels?
The release order goes from 3 to 7.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Now, there is one thing in Rock's favor as far as being an actor in Star Wars. Bad acting.
No.
Omega, do you have any more points you want to get out?
No, Lindsay stole my Yoda joke, so I'm going to move on.
Well, she told it wrong.
Smell what I'm cooking, you must,
Smell if you can what the Yoda is cooking.
Either way. Anyway, continuing on this wrestler and movie theme, Dave Bautista as Drax the Destroyer in the movie version of Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Buy or Sell, Mace.
Who cares? It's Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think anybody even inside Marvel knows what that series is.
Under the age of 50.
Pretty much. Batista's going to be offstage by a CGI raccoon, okay? But that being said, like I went and had a look at the actual character versus Batista, and then I saw this really, really weird, like, mock-up.
Oh, you're kidding.
And he fits compared to the original character.
Damn.
Which is really weird, because, as I hope this will all be transcribed by Rock into the chat room, when you take a look at the original character, and then you look at the mock-up that of Batista as Drax, it works well. He is a physical fit to the character. And you know, hopefully, as long as his lines don't go beyond arg and urgh, then he's fine.
Yeah, no, whoever did the Photoshop really captured it with that picture, with that Photoshop image.
It can work.
Yeah.
He can fit in that universe, unlike other people who can't fit in other universe.
And come.
Take a moment, Mace, as I go to Omega.
Holy fuck, did we break Mace?
So much fun.
Listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network as you hear a live aneurysm.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to buy it based on two simple premises. Number one, Marvel Studios has this really smart way of casting characters, and if they casted Batista as Drax, then there's got to be a logical reason behind it other than he kind of looks like the dude. So I'm going based on that for starters, but also because I have the possibility of seeing Dave Batista killed by a CGI raccoon.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really want to see that.
Tim.
Yeah, I'll buy it because Batista's got bills to pay and it won't be any skin off my nose because I'm not wasting any money to go see it.
So the better question is, will it be better in that movie or as an MMA fighter?
You mean what's he going to suck out less?
When it comes to him playing supernaturally powered individuals in comic book mediums, this is Batista's chance to go 2-0, unlike his MMA career, which is 0-1.
Did he win his first fight?
He won his first fight. He beat up the nobody jobber.
He won that fight.
Did he? I thought he got beaten by the nobody jobber. Oh, fuck, I can't remember. It was a bad fight anyway.
Yeah, that should tell you how good his potential MMA career is.
Yes, yes.
He's no Brock Lesnar in that damn ring. No. Wait a minute, did I say that?
No. And stay tuned, stay tuned for Saturday Night CB Radio as we continue our Bobby Lashley MMA updates.
Hey, enough of this CB Radio shill crap. What are you doing? I don't want to hear about it being on Saturdays at midnight or as close as you can get to it.
All right, fine. We won't talk about that show any longer.
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE hardcore champion of all time.
Well, as you see Spike Dudley staggering around, and then out of nowhere, look at this! Hurricane comes flying in! Fucking can't fly!
It wasn't a bird, it wasn't a plane!
It was Hurricane!
It was Hurricane!
And he's our new hardcore champion here in the WWF!
Right, to the Hurricycle!
And now...
No! Oh, wait a minute!
What?
Marty Molly! I don't believe it! Marty Molly has just defeated...
The Hurricane with a frying pan.
I thought she was a sidekick.
Look, I'm the hardcore champion. I'm a winner, baby. Yeah. What the? What are you?
Hey, wait a minute. There's Maven. Maven rolling on Christian. I think Maven's regaining the hardcore title, and now he's taking Christian's cap.
Now step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Up first, Bob Holly takes on Rhino Mace.
Here we go.
As I remind myself, I've got a project to do for WTRFs. no, there was a special request of I need to splice an entire episode's worth of title changes. Bob Holly versus Rhino. I'm pretty much going to give this one to Rhino. He was the type of guy who was able to excel in this type of environment, given his ECW background. Mm-hmm. It was basically able to let him be destructive, be the guy that the character is supposed to be. You know, big bull charging in, destroying everybody with anything, with any means necessary. Holly, on the other hand, he was only inserted because he had nothing else to do and Crash got over. So I'll go with Rhino on this one.
Omega. Omega.
He's thinking.
Shut up.
Told you.
You know what? No. I'm disagreeing with Mace. Rhino had the longer runs, and it does fit him. Hardcore Holly, you know, or Bob Holly, reinvented himself because of the Hardcore Championship that became who he was from then on, and that's still how we remember him. And that happened before he was teaming with Crash Holly. So he was actually a Hardcore Champion before Crash was, so...
So there, yeah.
So I'm going with Hardcore Holly.
So to break the tie on Tim Stein.
Oh, well, take a look at it. His nickname is Hardcore Holly. How do you get the nickname Hardcore?
Well, there's many ways.
By changing your name.
By saying, that's what my nickname is, use it or I'll beat you up. Yeah, whatever, Bob.
It's better than spark
plug.
Yeah, it's better than spark plug, yeah.
Yeah, right, you know, okay, this, here it is, the top 40 station versus album, you know, the FM stations. I don't listen to top 40, I listen to FM radio. And that being the case, Hardcore Holly to me is top 40 AM radio, whereas Rhino is FM, album-oriented rock opposed to a pop star. Sure, you can call yourself hardcore, that doesn't make you better. And I'm sorry, you tell me Hardcore Holly, I'm still thinking spark plug, with the mullet, but the hole in the back of the head where there's no hair, you know, and his ball is, yeah. Rhino was just more straightforward, straight through. Hardcore was more, believe it or not, show. And straight through gets my vote. So I'm voting Rhino.
You're voting Rhino. And to get the name Hardcore, you can just spend one night with Lita.
Okay, leave the Lita jokes to Omega. Never just, do no. that again.
I'm just reading what's sent to me, so, you know.
Yeah, who sent that to you?
People. Anyway.
People.
No,
yeah. Go ahead, Omega. You've got to do it. You've got to fix this.
You can't, no.
You can't fix it. You screwed it up that bad.
Hardcore is one of the lower names you get with a night with Lita. You also get nicknames like Contaminated, Health Hazard, or Dead.
All right, so Rhino moves on. Up next, Test versus Shane O'Mac. Mace.
Shane O'Mac, he embraced this title and went insane and dove off stuff like a crazy man. Which basically set up his career of taking dive for stupid reasons. God bless him.
Omega.
It's gonna be Shane. Thank you, you crazy lunatic.
Tim.
Yeah, it's gonna be unanimous is what it's gonna be. Yeah, Shane O'Mac. It's the Mac Daddy. Jumping off ship for no reason. Uh-huh. May said it.
Alright, so Shane McMahon moves on. Next week in the Great Debate, as we continue round number two, I guess as it were, Tommy Dreamer takes on Taz. Al Snow takes on Raven. In the Great Debate next week.
Well, that's it for that. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Let's continue to break Mace some more tonight, shall we?
Uh-oh.
So, Mace, back at, let's say, WrestleMania 27, would you want to see this showdown? UFC President Dana White versus Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Would I like to have seen Vince get his ass kicked once again at a WrestleMania by somebody who's currently making more money than he does? Yes, of course I would. It would be hilarious, especially because it could have happened at WrestleMania, and to see Vince get absolutely humiliated would have been friggin' hilarious.
And the catch for this match would have been, it was going to be real.
Hence why I was going with Dana White being the winner.
So just pointing out the facts behind the story, they Vince was saying, yes, we'll have the real fight, you know, because Dana didn't want to take any involvement in the fake stuff. Anyway, Tim, if you could be a part of any tag team with any wrestler, who would you team with, and what would your team name be?
I hate you.
Don't worry, you haven't heard the second question yet.
I'll probably hate you even more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I could team with anybody?
Anybody.
Living or dead?
Living or dead.
I have no idea what the name would be, but Owen Hart.
Well, you gotta come up with a name.
Fun and Games.
But where do you play a part in that?
I don't know. You made me pick a name. I couldn't think of anything.
Spare Change?
The King and Queen.
Oh. Don't you dare call Owen a queen.
We weren't.
No, he's the king.
Shut up.
Maze, if you were a leprechaun... Oh, no, I forgot. I gotta go to Omega, sorry. Anyway, fuck it, we'll go with Maze again. Maze, if you were a leprechaun, what would your favorite thing be about being a leprechaun?
Being a tripod.
What's a leprechaun? Well, it wouldn't be the amount of kids trying to catch me to get at me Lucky Charms. Well... To be honest...
See, oh, God, I can just see you in a bar talking to a girl. Hey, lassie, want to see me Lucky Charms?
No. It would be me in a bar and actually being able to use the line, kiss me, I'm Irish.
And getting away with it, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Kiss me in Irish, not with that accent, yeah, prick.
Exactly.
So that's what you're going with?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Omega, what is the more embarrassing loss at WrestleMania? Triple H losing to Warrior or Daniel Bryan losing in 18 seconds?
Oh, God.
Daniel Bryan, because at the time, Hunter wasn't shit and Warrior was, you know, one of the top dogs.
Yeah, but he's still the Warrior.
I know, he's still the Warrior, but hey, a lot of people who were just as high on the totem pole as Hunter back then lost to Warrior pretty damn quick.
Okay, Tim, you actually inspired this question the other day.
Fudge!
So in what way has the show I Love Lucy affected your life?
You had to do that just because of what you read on my goddamn Facebook post.
Hey, you posted...
You're such a dick, okay? There's a difference between I Love Lucy and Star Trek.
But in what way has I Love Lucy affected your life?
I want to go to Cuba someday.
Really? That's your reason?
Ask me a dumbass freaking question, you're going to get a dumbass freaking answer,
hey,
jackass.
You're the one who created the question.
Hey, I did not create the question. You're the one who's a jackass for doing that just because they posted it as a share. I wanted to see if anybody could say anything about how Star Trek has affected their lives or whether or not they think it has. And it, by the way, has affected everybody's life, for crying out loud. Spook got it. Spook posted on a comment on my Facebook post, and he was right, damn it. And if you don't believe me, try walking into a door.
Tim, how has Star Trek affected my life? Well,
yes.
It means I have a lot more time to do other things because I don't watch it.
And I love
Do you have a cell phone, Mace?
Thanks to Star Trek, I don't have to open the door at a grocery store.
There you go, Omega! See? He got it! But you're just like Stephen Lee. Nope, don't watch it. It hasn't affected me. Jackass, yes it has. Oh, God. I need a smoke. God damn it, I need a cigarette.
Love this.
Well, then pimp the shit and let's get the fuck out of here then.
Wait, Omega.
No, there's another question to come.
Yes, we have one more question for Omega.
Yeah, I always go last. Don't you know the format?
Yeah, Omega's the one, the final one. All right.
Oh, yeah, one other thing about Star Trek. Don't wear red. Go ahead.
And Star Trek is helping to control the population by keeping geeks in their basement.
No, it's giving geeks in the basement something to do while they wait to die. Shut up and move on!
Omega, if you were a Dr. Seuss character, who would you be and why?
A Dr. Seuss character?
Yes.
He'd be a who, so Horton could hear him.
No, I'd be the Cat in the Hat.
No,
why?
You would.
Why? Why would you be the Cat in the Hat?
Mostly so I can break the shit out of my friends' houses and get away with it.
So basically for the mischief.
Yeah.
Lindsay,
the fun part.
Lindsay would bust you.
Actually, Lindsay,
you know she would.
Actually, Lindsay correctly guessed what Omega would say. Anyway.
That's because she would bust him. She knew! Now are we done?
Now we're done.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to another episode of WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Why you keep coming back, I'll have no idea, but I'm glad you do. Tomorrow night, right after Raw, 11:30 Eastern Time, tune in to the Wild Talk Radio Network for the Raw Post Show. 3 hours encapsulated into approximately 45 minutes. No live news, no crap, just talk about Raw. Tuesday night, Alan Wojcik talks Florida wrestling with Florida stars and Florida problems. Why? Because he's gay for Florida. That's right, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, where Alan Wojcik interviews people.
So you wonder who he's interviewing this week, Tim?
No, I didn't. I missed it because I was busy doing stuff and having, you know, like a life.
I said, do you want to know
who he is? Oh, do I want to know? No, because I'll be busy doing stuff and, you know, having a life. Yeah, no, who's he going to be interviewing?
All right, on the show, he will be speaking with Mabel, Mo, and Oscar of Men on a Mission. That's three people right there.
Ah, so that's why he's not advertising it. Gotcha. Wednesday night.
I'm not finished.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That wasn't enough.
Well, he accused me last week of taking a shot at him, so this week I'm taking shots at him.
If that's enough, he will have Demolition Axe and Smash on the program, so that's five big-time guests on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
When's he ever going to find the time?
I don't know.
There you go. All right. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show with Cheap Wood Paneling and Scott Berry right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. At, if I'm not mistaken, which I'm not because I know better, 8:30 Eastern. Quit whispering. Thursday night, it's the award-winning Rack, and it's Lindsay Ward.
Yes, we'll be talking all about Impact Wrestling and whatever other discussions we may come up with. And on the show, we will be announcing what WWE Hall of Famer will be returning to the Rack in a couple of weeks, so check it out. Go to Rack Radio Go to RackRadioShow.com.
Yeah, there you go. Mace wants to play video games on Friday.
Yes, as usual, because, you know, God forbid anyone else help me promote this shit.
Well, you're very bloody welcome.
So somewhere around the 7 or 8 p.m. on Friday night, depending on what time I wake up, I'll be playing video games of some variety. I have no plans at this stage. Maybe I might be able to convince Omega, if his other podcasting stuff is finished by that point, to come and shoot zombies again.
We'll see.
Okay, what I'm playing on where you and Omega can shoot zombies at the same time.
Will the zombies be in trees?
We'll see what happens. The AI director is fucking weird. If not, then I've got to, like, work out a backup of some description. We'll find out by Friday.
What's the game system?
Depends on what I feel like playing.
If you guys are shooting zombies, what's the game system?
You see?
Thank you.
Yes, we shoot zombies on the PC.
There you go.
But I also have access to, you know, PlayStation 2 with a gigantic library of games and a PlayStation 3. And, you know, I have emulators of arcade games and stuff.
Yeah, I know. And if you're wondering why I'm talking loud, it's because the neighbors upstairs are playing really loud rock and roll music and I can't hear myself talk.
And because Tim,
I'm not yelling at you guys because I've blown a gasket or anything like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Tim, Tim wanted to know so we can actually kill some zombies with you guys. So stay tuned for Mace and Tim putting Kill Zombies on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Fresh meat for the roast.
Well, don't hold your breath. Anyway, yeah, Saturday night we're not going to promote CB Radio being on at midnight or as close as you can get to it because we've decided we're not gonna do that anymore. Shameless shilling of CB Radio doing really strange things like, oh, I don't know, making obscene phone calls and shit.
We haven't done that in forever, so why keep...
I know, I'm just pissed off with you.
Good, I'm pissed off with you.
Well, I'm pissed off with you. What the fuck is this, grade 3? Fuck off. And of course, next Sunday...
Hey, Mosh A and Mosh B, shut up.
There you go. Ooh. All right, hang up on him.
There you go.
Next...
The one time you listened to Tim.
You actually hung up on Mace. Oh, that's so sweet.
What? Okay, I Mosh give a shit Mosh if you B. hang up on
Mace. Fuck you. Fuck you, Mosh A. Mosh B. I'm sorry. As big an asshole as either one of us might wind up being, we are not that bad. Neither one of us are that big a loser.
Anyway, check out WTR Riffs at wildtalkradio.com/WrestleMania. We're posting one every single day around 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern. So check them out. We're up to WrestleMania 7. Was posted today. Oh, Jake Roberts versus Rick the Model Martel. Yesterday we had the...
And if you survived WrestleMania 6, good for you.
Yeah, the 30-minute gay joke. So check it out, which is Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior. Check them out. WrestleMania.
Yeah, and before you leave the chat room, Spook and Calgary Indie Wrestling Rules, I'm expecting to see both of you at Canadian All Pro Wrestling Presents March Mayhem, but I will give you both a hint, and you guys are probably the only two in the chat room that will be able to figure this one out, and you should figure it out immediately, and if and when you do, do not type it in the chat room that you have it figured out. But one word. Shaw. Thank you.
We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Right, Tim?
Yes. Goodbye.
Really? That's your goodbye? Just do it professionally. Yeah. Come on. Do it. Come on. Do it right.
That's another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody have yourselves a fantastic night. Enjoy the week. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. I was waiting for you to do it because I knew you would, so you know I didn't have to waste my breath.
So don't buy them.
No, buy the shirt, goddammit. They're awesome.
Shut the fuck up and let us end the show, Mosh A and Mosh B.
That's a hang up on him.
WildTalkRadio.com.